Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Choi, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing great today. Thanks for asking. And I want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the upcoming events of Easter Sunday and Earth Day. In this show, we will discuss the Christian myth found in the resurrection of the sun, not as something to believe, but something to do. Listen as Swami explains how to use Earth Day to ground a very lofty and essential life theme. Apotheosis isn't magic, it's physics. Join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance, get the light in your soul, and experience the benefits of true transformation. So, Swami, I had visited the website Wind Calendar, and I have some information about Easter Sunday I thought I would share with our listeners, and then that could get us started on our topic today. So, Easter commemorates Jesus' resurrection 3 days after his crucifixion and death. Following his death, he was removed from the cross and hastily buried in a tomb. On Sunday, it was discovered that Jesus' tomb was empty, and angels informed onlookers that Jesus had risen. Throughout the next 40 days, Jesus appears to his apostles and disciples before finally ascending to heaven. Easter is the highest and holiest of holidays in the Christian faith. Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday following the first full moon, after the spring equinox, usually occurring between March 2nd and April 25th. So, Swami, just in that paragraph alone, I can sense that there is a lot of symbolism regarding Easter. So, why don't you get us started and let's talk about what it is that we should be thinking about on Easter Sunday.
Well, like you said in the opening, Easter marks the resurrection of the sun, which is followed by the reunion with the Father. And for me, this was the answer to the Uranus myth, which was the castration myth that the Great Mother furnishes her son Saturn a flint sickle to use on the Father. And of course, the boy castrates the Father and then takes the fallen phallus and throws it into the ocean. And out of the fallen phallus comes Aphrodite. And Aphrodite was the most beautiful image known to humanity at the time. And out of the drops of blood come the Furies. This was a really important myth to understand, and especially in Kriya Yoga or yoga in general. The whole thing of Hatha Yoga means sun-moon union. That the path of descending prana begins at the feminine terminal of the third eye center, which is associated with the zodiacal sign of Cancer. and then it comes down and it touches upon the feminine terminal of your lower six energy centers, and it finishes up on the feminine terminal of the root center, Muladhara chakra, at Capricorn. So the whole thing of the moon to Saturn marked this conspiracy that was coming from our physical bodies that would cast the castration myth severs us from the power of the creative principle, basically, and the whole thing of winding up in the whole realms of Aphrodite, which was Venus, which is associated with desire and desire for things that are manifested, is the origins of all suffering. So the Christian myth here, I think, is really important, that the crucifixion of the body prevents the castration of the Father. And then after the crucifixion of the body comes the resurrection of the Son. The path of ascending prana goes from Saturn and finishes up at the masculine side of third eye center, which was Leo. So you went from Aquarius to Leo. And if the moon to Saturn is all about feeling the present reality, and Saturn to the sun is all about the spiritualization of matter. So the holiday really, I think, revolves around the whole thing of this, the actualization of spiritual reality, which is the prerequisite for the spiritualization of matter, was the crucifixion of the body. That there was a lot of preparatory work that had to be in place before we could spiritualize matter, before we could invoke this other source of sustenance into our physical body. But it initiated this thing called apotheosis, this process of us becoming divine, or the ability to actualize spiritual reality.
So if we look at how we were brought up in the celebration of Easter, I'm thinking about my own experiences as a child, and of course, you know, we were taught Jesus as a real person and how he ascended to heaven to be with the Father. Now, this ascension of Jesus to the Father, what you're saying, that's the same as Aquarius going up to Leo, if we talk about the road that we had talked about earlier. Can you expand upon that for us?
Well, I think I associate the whole thing more with the hero's journey. That the separation, the journey, and the return, that the process in human development takes place in three phases. So we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness. And that's what this whole thing of Easter really kind of symbolizes and actually should be. But like you say, it was presented to us in such a different format than something to do. First of all, it was something to believe in, and then something that you would defend academically or intellectually. But in reality, what we're missing is the benefits that come with this whole thing of the spiritualization of matter, the whole thing of becoming this human in the adult state. So now we're substituting this intellectual devotional mirage for what I call true spiritual reality, which wasn't something to believe in, but it actually was instruction that turned out to be a practical guide for highly effective living.
That's very interesting. I'm glad you had mentioned that. And as you were talking, I was looking at my notes, and it kind of like hit me on the head here. My next question, I think, to ask you is to talk about what's called the service of light. And what that It is the first Easter service for the year, and it happens right after Easter, of course. And what it is that, according to Wynn calendar, the worship typically starts in darkness on the preceding Saturday night or early Sunday morning. Light is brought into the church with candles to signify hope based on the resurrection. And then the service, the lighting of a paschal candle signifying Christ. So again, we have this, the symbolism here of going from darkness to light. And would that also be a symbolization of starting from the Aquarius and moving into Leo, going from darkness to light in that particular direction?
Yeah, I think that's real possible. That the whole myth of going from darkness to light is all part of what I would consider to be the importance of visualization, that seeing is believing, and light is what enables us to see. And the whole thing of visualization is we can use our imagination and we can actually use our minds to create our reality, which to me, that's where the way that the process and development starts to become a practical guide for highly effective living. That, yeah, I mean, you're going to give up some things, you're going to develop psychological organs, you're going to develop willpower, you're going to program yourself with values that are in accordance with universal order. You don't just shoot from the hip. But the whole thing of being able to start to shape your reality, start to use your mind to create whatever it is that you want in your life, I think is really useful. Believing in the Easter Bunny, to me, doesn't really do anything for me. Outside of maybe the placebo effect, that anything has a 37.5% chance
of success, right? Yeah, right, exactly. Well, also in the notes, I think it's interesting that they had to make mention of the Easter egg. And it says on here that the Easter egg represents new life. And it also symbolizes the shape of Jesus' tomb. So I don't know if there's any way to unbox that other than the fact that we all know the egg is representation of new life. But what I find interesting is when you're talking about this placebo effect and the fact that if you believe something strong enough, anything is possible. And isn't that what Jesus was showing us when the onlookers saw him ascending to heaven? And he had said earlier in his teachings, you know, all the things that I can do, you can do and more. And maybe showing the people that yes, we can do this ascension. Now, what we mean, I think, is the ascension from going from the lowest chakra to the highest chakra, and therefore what you say is making these vertical leaps.
Yeah, and also you're making a leap from being the victim to the creator of your reality, which to me is a much more positive position to assume, but it requires personal accountability, personal responsibility. And that's what I think what's missing collectively, and also an important thing that religions provided us with.
So you're saying that if we just put ourselves back in the driver's seat, we really do have the means to make these changes, and not just physiological changes, but also that would in turn enable us to make these spiritual changes.
You know, the spiritualization of matter is really what I think we're striving for, but that's a practice that initiates a process that has an evidence procedure. So it's not just a string of words that you throw out, but the spiritualization of matter starts to give you, first of all, a different reality system that you work with. It gives you additional information. But the quantum leap is going from knowing to doing.
All right, great. We're going to pause right there to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back in a few minutes. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. So welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, right before our break, you had talked about going from knowing to doing. So a lot of us probably want to ask you is, well, what does that look like when we're doing it?
Yeah, the whole thing of how creation is taking place. It was explained in Revelations by the beast, the false prophet, and the middle road. In yoga, it's Ida, Pingala, Shushumna. See, we create our reality by the thoughts we think, the feelings we harbor, the beliefs we accept, and the scenes we rehearse in the studio of our minds. That's what these holidays are all about. It's about how to go from the victim, where everything is happening to us, to the creator of our reality. And so going from knowing to doing is taking something that's theoretical, just a concept, and then applying it. And then, of course, the more that you understand how it works, the easier it is for you to reap the benefits that come with it. Because the resurrection of the sun is an important phase in development. It's part of the hero's journey. The conscious mind has now triumphed over instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival that we have mastered or overcome the limitations of body-bound awareness.
If I want to put that into a practice, and I want to exercise what you were talking about, the scenes that I rehearse in the studio of my mind. So how does one go about doing that? How do I rehearse that? How do I make that scene in my mind?
Well, you use your imagination. You use creativity. So the term that I use in trying to educate people on how to do this is you work your mind. And you understand that the mind can be in the physical body. The mind can examine itself, and the mind can turn to your creative side. That's why the whole thing of Earth Day is so important in this particular time, is that in mythology, there was the underworld, there was Earth, and there was Olympus. That was a myth. That was a way of showing how our minds can work, how the conscious mind can be in the physical body. The mind can examine itself, and the mind can turn to your creative side. And so when you're working your mind, you want to really be able to understand that you can turn your mind to your creativity, your imagination, endless possibilities. You can format a different outcome for anything that you're dealing with. Then you create an image, because you must speak the language that the universe understands, which is imagery. Doesn't understand English, doesn't understand negative, but it understands pictures. So the whole concept of rehearsing scenes in the studio of your mind has a lot of value to it. And that's one of the things that we say, seeing is believing. So using visualization in order to help us change our beliefs. Because our beliefs are the things that the subconscious conforms to. Whatever frequency your beliefs are at, that's what you're going to attract to you. And when you're working and using and understanding what these holidays were all about, and you start to apply it, then you start to see that I can change my thoughts, I can apply feeling to my thoughts, and then I can start to create beliefs. And in doing this, doing things that are in sync with whatever it is that you want, whatever your desires are.
Now, you always say that, you know, union with the divine really is an instruction in how to become the creator of your reality. You're always talking about that we are the creators. But I would think that it would also take a belief that you are the creator of your own reality. I mean, I've talked to many people, and they believe that their lives are geared towards fate, you know, that they don't have a position of authority in the direction of where their life goes. And so do we have to believe we're the creator, or is it that we're all, regardless of what we believe in, is it because of these images that we have in our minds, is that what's paving the way for how our life unfolds in front of us?
Yeah, it's kind of like what we were saying, that beliefs that are developed as a result of a God-based reality system is going to be very different than beliefs that are established from a reality system that is rooted in duality, which is fear and limitation, and you throw in the concept of a belief in God. That you have a different point of reference, you have a different perspective of what life is. That's why this union with the divine becomes a platform. It's a stepping stone. It is the way that you start to figure out how it's all working. But like you say, if you don't believe that exists, then you are going to be stuck in your pattern. And then what people do is then they tell their story. And what's nice about that is that their story makes them right, but it never really gets them what they want. And in this model, you're assuming the responsibility, you're keeping everything loose, because you're not a victim of your pattern. You recognize that I can change my pattern. I can change how I think, I can change how I feel, and I can change my beliefs. And so once you open yourself up to the fact that we're not limited to whatever it is that we're experiencing at this moment. But in order to change it, see, what we basically have to do is we have to present our new request to the subconscious, but then you have to feel the reality now. That's what the Bible tells us. See, seeing is believing, but if you don't have it, you don't believe it. And the Bible tells us that we must believe it before you can get it. So that's where I want to say the use of your visualization, the use of your mind becomes really valuable. And in applying it, the first thing you want to do is you want to open up your beliefs. You want to recognize and say, for example, one of the things I really like is that book, The Holographic Universe. And for the simple fact that it really, it gets you out of the box with a lot of the limitations that we have accepted collectively because of the simple collective consensus. And so when you believe in that, you set up limitations for yourself that are self-inflicted.
Well, I want to get back to talking about making changes, and you had definitely touched upon a really good point about the feeling. And I wanted to talk to you also about, or even ask you, when we ask for these changes, we ask in a certain way, and I think sometimes we overdo the asking, and we maybe put too much energy behind it. Now, there is a thought out there, and I know I've experienced this with Reiki, and we've read other things and heard other people talking about, well, there comes a point where you can be over asking, putting too much energy into what you want. So is there a place for making this visualization and then just let it go out into the universe and kind of let it happen on its own?
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I mean, two really big obstructions to getting what you want. One is doubt or uncertainty, and the other is too much effort. And a lot of times we employ too much effort simply because we really don't believe that we're going to get what it is that we're asking for. So we're worried. And whether we realize it or not, then when you're worrying, you've got this negative thought that has actually gone compulsive. And you're using the law of attraction in reverse. Energy follows mind. Only the thing that you want is not the thing that you are focused on. You're focused on the simple fact that you doubt that you're going to get it. And so that creates a failure force in and of itself. That certainty is of the utmost importance. Now, of course, when you emit the thought and you believe that you're going to get it, and you emit it with certainty and expectancy that you're going to get it, then you let it go.
And isn't that what you were saying earlier when you were talking about, well, the universe doesn't understand a specific language. It doesn't know English or French or, you know, pick a language. And it doesn't understand like the negatives. So we want to make sure that when we have these pictures in our mind and we're being and exercising that creative principle, that we want to be sure that it doesn't have a negative attachment to it.
Right. Or any iota of doubt. And again, that's where your practice of Kriya Yoga becomes really valuable, because you, first of all, you establish your sense of well-being on the forces that are really important to you. So that gives you a sense of confidence. It gives you a platform that I'm good enough. And then when you're asking for what you want, you're not emitting the thought with the burden of doubt, but it's more empowered with the intention that I'm good enough.
And that's a great place to end our show right there. So listeners, we're going to start closing down our program. So I'd like to invite you out there to please visit the website, www.ipdtransform.com. And of course, once you're there, you can make posts or comments about the show, access some of the archived radio shows that are also there for your listening pleasure, and keep those comments, questions, and curiosities coming because Swami does enjoy hearing from you all. Also, be sure to check out our Facebook Live posts. We are looking to include more of these into our schedule. Be sure to tune in next week. We are going to be talking about Divine Mercy Sunday. So, Swami, anything else you'd like to add about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to have a great resurrection and maybe start to employ some of the things that we're suggesting that they do here. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.